The referee is reaching into their pocket. What's that card going to be?
Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
The kids seem all right, but where are our goals, John? John, where are our goals? We're going to talk about our two matches where we had some goals and one where we didn't quite as have as many. Mocha FC and Colorado. We're going to tell you our gut reactions to the matches. We're going to tell you who the hardest working players are because that's why you tune in. Also, we're going to tell you who the MVP of each match was. We will also review a couple key stats and then tell you, most importantly, who or what needs to get off our pitch. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing okay. Just saw Dune. Great movie.
Oh, Dune 2.
Highly recommend it.
To be specific, you mean Dune 2, the one that's in theaters,
Dune 2,
right?
Dune 2.
I rewatched the first one Friday. I've not gotten a chance to see the new one, but I'm looking forward to it.
Very entertaining. Very entertaining. I do.
So no spoilers. No Dune spoilers for this.
No. The book's been out since 1965, but so spoilers, okay, whatever. But sure, let's go on with the show. All right, John. We played a couple of matches this week. One against one CONCACAF Champions Cup match versus Mocha FC. Let's start with that match. Gut reaction to the match. We were there together.
Yes, we sat together at midfield. It was so two gut reactions. It was cold. It's just a fact. We need to establish that. However, outside of that, that was one of the most fun matches I've watched in a while. It was just fun. Like, it was an enjoying entertainment time. We got to see some kids using, you know, some newbies, some of them who are young and directly, you know, drafting the super draft, go out and play and make some debuts. And it was just a good time, period.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good to spend some time with you and our first really sort of the kickoff match for us together, mm-hmm. Sitting together at the match. I was happy to we could snag two seats somewhat where I sit, somewhat close to actually better than where I sit typically there in the middle, section 118, apart from VAR. And yeah, it was really nice because you noted from the very beginning, everyone looked they looked just flowy, just happy. Where they were kidding around, joking, like Josh, and like they look like just a regular old soccer team out for a weekend,
rec league game.
Rec league,
you know what I mean? Like
game,
no
right?
pressure stuff. You could tell the players in the atmosphere for our team was just, it was just vibes.
Yeah. Gary had noted that the locker room has definitely taken on a new character this year, a lot younger, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of it is, I don't know what the cause of it is, but. He seems to think that the locker room has a little more vibrancy this year, there's a little more upbeatness, and I don't know. We'll see how that plays out this year. Okay, so that was the match we won. What was the score line there?
4-0.
4-0.
4-0, and for full disclosure, that means 7-0 on aggregate across two matches. So
not that it matters, but yes. And we also had a match against Colorado. Different result, different game. What was your gut reaction to that game on Saturday night?
That was the most interesting 0-0 draw ever because it was a 0-0 draw with two absolute blunders on either end that somehow made it into a 1-1 draw. Like, it was bizarre and boring all at the same time.
Yeah, it was one of those MLS matches that people use to criticize MLS. It was not the beautiful game. It was disjointed and ugly and stop and start and not a lot of offense, and it was pretty boring. It was a pretty boring soccer match. We had two goals, both scored by NSC players. First goal was by an unfortunate real sort of play that where he was kind of checked out, which was my take on the play was that Shaq was a little bit checked out of the play, headed the ball down into our own goal. An own goal, never good. I mean, what else can you say about the match other than it was pretty boring?
Yeah. I mean, again, the highlights were the two goals, and that's because both came off preposterous situations. I mean, one of the most obvious handballs I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And yes, an absolute just absence of mind, not knowing where he was, whatever it was, play by Shaq. So, but yeah, the rest of the game, yeah.
And I feel like the Colorado player, I think, was a rookie who came
Jonathan
on.
Lewis.
Yeah, I think he was a young player or young, new, maybe a newish player. Come on, kind of had a – var me on that. But I think the announcers had said that it was a younger player came on, and then that was, unfortunately, his first real action on an MLS pitch. And he gets he draws a PK. Anyway, it's never fun. If you're the person, you know, drawing the PK, that's always embarrassing. So – yeah, it was not the in contrast to the 5-0 drubbing that Miami gave Orlando, let's just say it was a very different match at the MLS level. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. All right, John, let's do our hardest working player awards for hardest working for each game. So first of all, who is your hardest working for the Mocha FC game?
This is a tough one. Honestly, I'm giving hardest working to Mackenzie Gaines because he was, first of all, I do believe he played all 90 minutes. And he was working his tail off to make things happen, to make passes. And his goal was a beauty. I think he just did a lot of stuff. Like, I liked what I saw, and I feel like he and Schaff were each playing on the sides and attacking forward, but I liked a little bit of the possession, the little cleverness he had with the ball. It was something that's it is you can see there's a little bit of difference between he and Schaffelberg, even though they are both speed merchants and have plenty to spare. But I loved his effort and I loved all of his work. I think honorable mention to Alex Mouille for hardest working because he did play the full 90. He was out there, and Foot Mob actually rated him highest of all the players there. A little preview of our stats early. He was actually the highest rated player for the whole game, even though he didn't actually assist or score. But Alex was everywhere. I mean, that's, you know, standard Alex. He just looked a little bit better since the competition was a bit lower. But I give it to McKenna.
Yeah, I give it to Alex. I felt looking at the totality of what his presence on the field, and of course, when he's on the field and he's in that central mid, that somewhat central, I'm using air quotes here, somewhat central mid role, he plays a much faster game. I think he feels a lot more free to go after the ball, both side, you know, back, front, side to side, middle. He ranges all over box to box. I think he feels really comfortable doing that. Looked really good, played really hard, and he gets my hardest working. All right, let's go into the Colorado match to kind of move things along. Colorado, hardest working, going to be a tough one.
Man, I honestly, I want to give it to Schaffelberg because I think he did his usual thing. And I feel like we looked better when he was out there. He was about the only player that had a lot of real forward presence. I know Tyler Boyd tried, but he, again, just felt kind of disconnected from the team. Whereas when Schaff was doing it, granted, we were behind, so we're chasing the game and it opened up a little bit. But I felt like Schaffelberg was really working hard and put forward one of the best efforts to at least try to create some chances. And I don't know if you saw the stats supported on the beginning, like in the first half, they showed like attacking. We mostly attacked down the right side, but man, when he came in, we started pushing down the left and it looked a whole lot different and added a bit of dynamism to our game.
Well, speaking of that right side, I gave it to Lucas McNaughton because I felt he really tried to press. I felt like he truly tried to press the offense or press the ball upfield a little more. Even as in his right center back role, I feel like he still tried to take the game a little bit farther up the field. Maybe that's a role he's trying to work into, you know, using some more of his speed. But he looked good. I thought that of the game in total, the center backs pretty much stole the show. I mean, they were pretty much front and center for three quarters of the game. And I thought Lucas
had to be.
Yeah, and I thought Lucas was probably the hardest working of the three. All right, just work rate. All right, let's go into MVP awards. Who was your this one's tough? Who was your most valuable player for the Mocha FC game?
It's Forster Ajago. He was a menace up front. I mean,
he could have had
one
five goals.
Coaching goal. He could have had. I mean, the poaching one off of the Sadich rebound. And then the other one he scored was just that beautiful pass of Schaffelberg's that just like snuck through. And he even had PK to get the hat trick, but he did miss that. I was a little disappointed by that.
I think he was hyped up on adrenaline at that point. Yeah. He just didn't know what to do.
I think so. I mean, to come in and get a hat trick and, you know, your debut thing. And yes, Mocha FC is, you know, what was it, a lower level of competition than Serenella teams, but you're still playing in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So to come in, make your debut in that competition, even if the actual team is lower, and to get two goals, of course he's going to be jacked up and jazzed up out there. And yeah, he just, you know, it wasn't the best penalty, but he was a menace. He looked beautiful out there in the things he did. He was dealing with headers. He was winning duels. I mean, it was everything you could ask for. I loved it. Loved what I saw.
I gave it to Forster as well. In the post game, what made me really sort of endeared me to him during the post game was he was talking about the celebration. So, of course, I don't know if it was Valera Ben or one of our favorites, one of our favorite, you know, podcaster / journalists asked a question. I can't remember who. I will try to look and see who it was, but asked him, what about the celebration? What's the deal with the celebration? Yeah. And he gave this really thoughtful answer. He goes, actually, it's, I'm a bear because I've always had to claw my way up from nothing. And I was
weeds. He's removing the weeds out of his way and stuff. So yeah,
it's pretty good. I really like that.
It was very profound. It was good to see the joy he had in explaining that too.
Yeah. We forget, you know, and we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, the joy of the game, but because I have a bit to talk about a little later in segment two, but I want to move on to best goal because this was going to be tough.
Are we just not going to give an MVP to the Colorado match? I know it was bad.
Yeah, okay, let's go ahead.
Look, here's the thing. I'm going to give it to Teal.
Yeah,
because
same.
Because everybody on the Discord, we all texted each other, who's taking this penalty?
Yeah.
No one knew, because...
And when Teal stepped up to the spot, what did we both
Everyone
say?
Groans from every NSC fan, and he nailed it. So look, I'm giving it to the man because he got the opportunity. He did the one thing he needed to do, and he scored it, and he salvaged the point. For nothing else than that 30-second sequence of sinking the penalty and doing the right thing, you get it. And also because the rest of the match was poor for everyone.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. All right. Best goal, though? So that goal, but which one was the best goal from the week?
I think I have to go with, I believe it was the Zhago's first, the one with that pass from Schaffelberg.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
That cross slid right between the defender's legs. It was chef's kiss. It was beautiful. So I'm going to give it to I believe it was the Zhago's second or first one. The second one was the rebound. So I'll give it to that.
I am giving it to Schaffelberg. I love the no look, bounced off three people. Everyone had thought the play was over and it went in. I love that.
And the beautiful baby announcement.
Yes, and the baby. So
congratulations to Jacob and his wife on their September due date.
First week of September, he said. So congratulations to them. That's always those celebrations the celebration for those at home who may not have saw it. It was it's sometimes seen, but it's when a player sticks the ball underneath their shirt like they've got a belly, like a pregnant belly, and they suck their thumb. Now, you see that sometimes across the pond, but in this case, it meant a baby was on the way. So it was a great celebration. All right, and I'm glad he got to share that moment. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some things we learned from these two matches. John's going to share some stats, and of course, we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John, let's dive into some questions. What did we learn? First, I wanted to challenge you with a question. Of those starters from the Mocha FC match, is there one in particular, you don't have to say just one, is there one in particular that you think really should be considered a starting or at least a bench player for Nashville going forward?
I mean, I would think of Zhago because, again, I liked him as a play, but he's only, I believe, 20, just drafted out of high school, maybe 21, mm-hmm. So he's still young, and that was not the level of competition. Honestly, if I had to pick someone from that game that played in the Mocha game who hasn't really debuted for us, I would probably say Sadich because, again, he wore number 6, which I think is a little bit emblematic of the role he wants to play. He had a couple very Dax-like passes that broke lines and were very clever and creative that we don't see from a lot of our midfielders. Drew and Sean are kind of a similar mold where they're very physical, very attacking. They can do direct passes, but there's not necessarily that clever, created pull the strings, you know, from a deep cross the line thing. Godoy does it sometimes at occasion. It kind of depends on the game and the flow of it. But I saw him do a couple of those that I looked like, okay, maybe he can be a little bit of that Dax presence we need. So I actually thought, and he is signed to the senior team, and so he can play for us, et cetera, you know, because again, there's the whole international slot with Ajago. So I actually thought Sadich might actually be someone who finds his way into minutes for us. It'll probably start with ending games, but he may end up starting some games or for like a different, maybe more of a passing oriented lineup at times. I was impressed with it. Otherwise, I think most of the young guys are either, again, probably too young or too inexperienced to really get that time, but things change. You never know. So what about you? Did you have one in mind?
Yeah, I had the exact same thoughts. And I think that it's going to be necessary to look at least the striker position, having another person. I've seen Teal get up off the turf limping a couple of times now. I don't know that at his age he has it in him to be the key striker for a season where we're playing two other cup series. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. That's a lot of work for some legs that have seen a lot of MLS play. Let's put it that way kindly. And so I think that goal he scored was his 60th. I mean, let's just say he's been around the league for a while. So, yeah, I think we need another striker that's just in the bench. You know, I don't think he should start. I don't think Ajago should start. That's a sort of unreasonable expectation. But I think maybe having him a little more prepped to go on and in that role would be good. All right, John, hit us with some key stats.
Oh, do I not get to ask you a question?
Oh, yeah. You asked me if I thought, yes, but you may
I was respecting your question, give you a chance.
Ask me another question. Yes, ask me another question.
No. It's all good. Okay. The Colorado match. Mm-hmm. Let's call it what it really is. It was a 0-0 draw, basically. Yeah. Again, I'm going to call it a 0-0 draw. That's what it was. So we've had 2-0 draws in a row. Both games without Hani and Sam. I know we're not sure of timelines. I think Valer did in his post-game hinted that Hani might play against Miami, whatever. All competitions, if we have more time without Hani and Sam, or if this gets longer, are we completely sunk? In other words, we saw what we did. We survived Colorado. Mm-hmm. I have to believe, personally, that if you put Hani and Sam in there, we probably could have won that game because their mm-hmm. quality is better. It just is, period. We're a better team with them on there. So my question is, depending on how long this goes, do you think we can survive long enough for them to get back in whatever way it is and, you know, still salvage a decent season? Or do you think, you know, if this goes on for even another week, like we're going to have real issues?
I think that we had this situation, I think, 21 season, 22, when Hani had a bit of a knock, you know, and was out for a little bit for the first few games. And we actually pulled together a couple of decent results along with, I think, at least one win in there. And that actually had a few people thinking, there might be something to the offense other than Hani. But I think it's clear now that there isn't another answer to our offense other than Hani Mukhtar, which makes a lot of sense, but also kind of circle back to my earlier comment about I think we need a plan B. And I don't think Teal is quite plan B worthy. I think he's plan C and a half. I think he's a C plus plan, right? Mm. So yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing I'd take away from this is looking at, I still wonder in this game, yes, we can put some, you know, whatever. Teal didn't get service. So yeah, I feel like even though we've done some stuff that I feel like our midfield thing is still a problem, mm-hmm. and we rely on Hani or someone else or Boyd dropping back to try and push forward, or we result in an ideal lineup. You know, we have speed down the wings to carry it forward. So I feel like even if we had Sam in that game, we still may have had the possession issues with the I wonder if we would have had possession issues with the midfield. In other words, I still see like it's a two-part problem. One, Hani is the key to this all. Yes, we know that. But even if you plug Sam in this lineup, I still wonder if the midfield, you know, is it that level it needs to be to survive without Hani? Let's put it that way.
I think that a frustrating thing I've seen with Teal on the pitch is the possession past midfield then goes back to the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper kicks it to the striker and he immediately gives away possession. I think that has happened over and over and over and over again. I think Sam got caught in that loop. I think Teal's in that loop now. I think that is a Gary Smith, you know, plan. I think that is part of his plan. If we don't take it up wing, we do that long pass from the goalkeeper, the long kick from the long goalkeeper, and I don't think it works. I don't think it's working. And yeah, that's what I think.
Well, and that's why I wonder, like, again, if we had a better midfield, maybe we'd do that. Yeah, to me, I equate that, what you just talked about, is like the dump pass in hockey where you go up to the zone, yeah, you dump it in, and you hope something
dump
happens.
And chase. No. Dump and chase.
Dump and chase is not, it is known that it is not the best strategy in hockey. This is not here. And so I feel like, yeah, that's a, to me, it's another weakness. So I'm saying there obviously maybe some blame on Teal, but there might be some stuff outside of it too.
Yeah.
All right. So some stats. Fun fact. We had 72% of the possession against Mocha. I bring that up because, as you know, Nashville teams tend to not possess the ball. It was just kind of a showing of the dominance. You know, total shots, we beat them 20-1, 10-1 on target. Like, just it was a drubbing, but again, it was also fun to watch. Colorado match, very interesting. If you take out the penalty goal, which is obviously, what does it say? It's like 0.8 or 0.9, you know, expected goal. Most of our expected goal actually came in that first half. You remember there was that sequence where we had a couple bounces and Shaq put off a shot.
Shaq had a great shot labeled for the top right, corner. And
then,
it was great.
And then later we had a cross that went to Bunbury on the other side and he just couldn't quite get to it. So that was most of our expected goals was outside the penalty, came from that kind of sequence there when we did really well. So we actually overall had more expected goals, 1.5 to 0.5. So the math talking about that, said that we maybe deserved the goal more, or whatever. But again, it really felt like a 0-0 draw despite all that. Also, a first time stat. This is new for any Nashville game ever. One, which is the number of players who defected on the way back home from Mocha, because that's something we've never had after a match, and now we can say we did. Good, bad. I have no weighing in on this, but it is a fact.
That is something that happened. Yes, it is a statistic.
It is something that happened.
It is a statistic that is recorded. Yes. Thank you for that, John. And speaking of being on the record, John, I need to know, more importantly, who or what needs to get off your pitch.
Well, I will tell you this. There were two games this week, Eric, that I just found the most appealing, interesting thing to watch. Obviously, one of them was the Mocha game. Mm. The other one was the Thunder Snow game that happened between RSL and LAFC. You know it's going to be fun when the high visibility orange ball has to come out. And look, I want to tell you, that game was hilarious to watch. There were some missed passes, some slips. RSL played actually some really good ball. They had some nice shots and some clever passes in it. Overall, it was a very beautiful to watch. But afterwards, coach of LAFC, Steve Trundle, came out and went on a rant, blaming the weather, blaming that the game shouldn't have been played and things like that. And so I'm going to give him a yellow because this is the second time he's complained about circumstances. He did this last year when they lost the CONCACAF Champions League. The schedule congestion, the roster restrictions.
Seems to
like to externalize the source, the reason for this blame a little too much for my taste. It seems to be a pattern at this point. So he gets a yellow. However, I do understand some of his point. It was fun to watch. I don't ever want to see Nashville play in that game because goodness knows I don't want Hani on that field. Something goes wrong and he's out for the season if he falls wrong. I don't want that to happen.
No.
I understand some of the safety concerns. And so because of that, I give my red to all of those people who say we should follow the European calendar. Because let me list to you. We've got New England. We've got Minnesota. We've got Chicago, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. All of those places, do you know what they look like in late November, December, and January and February? Exactly like that. You would have so much more of that. Like, you know, some of those teams may play in, you know, domes and stuff, but still, unless you want half the season looking like that, we can't do it. It's just not going to happen. Or you move all the teams to Florida for 4 months of the year, like some weird MLS is back thing. I don't know. But for now, that red goes to those people who say we should move to the European calendar, because I understand the transfer benefits and stuff, but right now with the locations of teams and the weather, it's not going to happen unless you want that game happening multiple times a week for those months.
Yeah. You don't want a Scottish Premier League situation either, where you have to split up your season. But yeah, that's not something you want to do. I strongly disagree with that. Where did you get that sort of that information? It seems like there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of content that you can consume about MLS and the MLS, specifically, Nashville SC. You know, this is a podcast about Nashville soccer, but we also and we have not done it in a while, unfortunately, and that's mostly on me, talked about other podcasts that we do follow. We follow a lot of different podcasts. One in particular that I really like to follow is the podcast led by Valer Shabila. It's a pharmaceutical podcast. It's a really good podcast. I think everyone should check it out. Valer has, I guess,
on a note on that, they had a great story about Valer and Steven's trip to the Dominican on the intro last episode.
I was going to bring it up. I think I saw them on camera. It was because you know that the one nice thing about the Nashville Colors is they when we're away fans, you can really pick out
away fans.
Yeah, there's two highlighters.
Yeah.
Well, Valer has gotten his own sort of YouTube channel called On the Air with Valer. His first episode, he interviews Jack Mayer, the milkman. It's a great interview. I really enjoyed watching this and was going to, you know, I shared the video with you and said, hey, John, have you checked out this the video? Let me hear some of your thoughts about it. John's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Didn't mention the fact that John's comment to Valer was read on the air to Jack. It was a question, which John didn't know. So my yellow card, it's just a yellow. I've done a VAR. I am offering you a yellow card because my red card goes to the fat shirtless guy at the Miami versus Orlando game that they panned to for like 15 seconds during the match. I get it. Supporters are often very comical. They can be amusing, offensive. They could be a lot of things. I didn't need to see that guy that long on the shot. I mean, come on, Miami. And anyway, I wanted to say that Kate, well, President Kate, used to be Drummer Kate. She is now referred to as President Kate of the Roadies, who used to have a podcast. I think I've been looking for episodes. I haven't seen any since last year. Fashion Goals. Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Her and Kelly used to have a called Fashion Goals. I was going to actually bring that to them, but unfortunately no longer a podcast with us. They get my red card. You get off the hook for this one time. This is a yellow though. So we're going to take a break on that bombshell. We're going to take a break. We get sued to keep doing that. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the matches coming up. There's a new club coming to town. We'll talk about them called Inter Miami. We'll talk about them and a match against LA. So stay with us. Okay, John, we are back. All right, John, who are we playing and when are we playing them?
Well, we get the honor of hosting Miami this Thursday at 8 p.m., another late kickoff for the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then we turn around and on Sunday, so we get a fun Sunday matinee, not as a bonus, they were scheduled regardless, but we get a bonus matinee on Sunday at 2 p.m. We get to host LA Galaxy, and it is... it's just a season pass one. It's not nationally televised, but that'll be a fun one because this is a new and different Galaxy. I don't know if you've seen them, but this is not last year's team. They are different and fun. And that could be, if we're healthy, that could be a really fun game to watch. Mm-hmm. We will see.
All right, John, but we are playing in the CONCACAF round of 16, CONCACAF Champions Cup round of 16, Inter Miami, featuring the world's greatest player, Messi. What do you think? Well, what's the reaction online been? What have you seen so far on the Discords, on the YouTubes, on the internets, on the X's and the Twitters? What have you seen?
Do you like your pessimism with a side of pessimism?
I do. I'm Gen X, so I love cynicism. Hit me.
No, let me tell you. Basically, here's the thing. After watching this week's game, people are like, if you can't beat Colorado, how are you going to beat Miami? Obviously, there's the big question.
You know what?
There.
That's a fair question.
It is a fair question. But there's a question of Hani's health. It seems like Sam is still on track to not play in this game.
Yeah.
But if Hani is available, it makes our team different, period. End of story. So we might have a chance. Again, we're going to be the underdogs in this. I feel like if we had a full starting 11, which we did during the League's Cup, you know, when we played them, and then in last year's regular season game after that, I would say we have a decent puncher's chance. We're great on the defense. They haven't scored against us, but they've revamped this year. They're a different team. And after watching Orlando, man, it's going to be a tall task. So it's hard to have a lot of optimism when we've done this. But I feel like I almost feel like this is a Gary thing to go out and have a horrible, crappy away thing and then come out and pull something out of his pocket for as an underdog and just do something ridiculous and, you know, put it to him. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's a Gary thing that he's done. And so I'm like, I wouldn't put it past him, but it's gonna take something to win that game or to come away with a tie. Now, again, CONCACAF Champions Cup, so it's two legs, so we got to, you know, play both. Win the first one, great. You still got to go to Miami and, you know, play again, and there's the away goals factor. So who knows how that's going to turn out.
What do you think? What if folks wanted to reach out to us, you and I, and they wanted to share what cynical thoughts they had with us about the Inter-Miami match or any match coming up? How would they do that?
Anything. You could go onto Twitter at @GOMP_pod, or you could go onto YouTube and get off my pitch.
We broadcast live at 8 p.m. on Sundays. We have been doing that for three. This is our third year. We'd love to have you join us. Submit your questions. We would love to read them on air. And if you need to tell us who, just get off your pitch, keep it clean, we will do that. So we've had that a couple of times. So we enjoy
We may read them probably on next week's podcast, but we
always enjoy that. Yep, we always enjoy it. All right, John, score lines. Let's think about score lines. What do you think the Inter-Miami NFC match is going to be?
I'm just going to go with the reality of it and say that Hani can't play more than 60 minutes. We're not full health and we lose 2-0 and we prepare for another loss next week and exit the Champions Cup. I don't know. I just feel like I'm leaning towards that pessimism side. And again, Hani's health is the key to it all. And if he can't go 90, we have no creativity. So they're going to pin us back. And I mean, you've seen it. They're crafty. They're good. And if they're pinning us back, it's not going to be pretty. So 2-0, we lose.
Yeah. Busquets alone is just so good. Yeah, I say 3-0. I think it's going to be at least a brace for Messi and maybe one from the other. How they play, John, how they pay these players, how in the world they've gotten these players from this one team is a subject for an entire podcast. Like, just
there will be documentaries multiple years from now, not only about how they've done it in the camaraderie, but also the you know, the dark side of where their dirty deals done. What about this?
They did it.
There will be information that comes out. Like, look, all I'm saying is 5 or 6 years when that comes out, it's going to be a fun watch. Yeah. And we'll get to say we were there for this, because I'm sure they'll throw in the first League's Cup final win highlights, and we'll be like, we were there for that game.
We were there. John and I were there. All right, John. What about the LA Galaxy game? What do you think? A 2 o'clock game? I will actually bring in the entire family to that match, so I'm looking forward to it.
I think I'm going to bring my youngest, because the wife and the girls are out of town. So it'll be the two of us. I'm going to try and get some upper deck seats to have good visibility, because, you know, he's short. So there's a height challenge there. I don't know. I mean, this Galaxy team looks good. And again, if we're actually trying to win at Miami, I don't know who we're going to field for this. I'm honestly, my most optimistic is I'm going to say it's a 1-1 tie. That's optimism in this case, because I really don't know where our health stands, and it's a short rest and turnaround. But if we get blown out of the CONCACAF Cups, maybe we rest players and we switch back to focusing on MLS. I don't know, man. So I'm going to go with a 1-1 tie.
Yeah, I think Darkest Timeline takes over. We're 1-3. Yeah. I think we give up 3 goals again. I think we get a goal early, and then something starts falling apart. All right, so let's review our goals from last week, our goal predictions from last week. So last week I said 2-0 Mocha. I was pretty close on that one. You said 1-1, thinking maybe it'd be a little tighter.
I was very wrong. I'm proud to be wrong on that one, by the way.
My cynicism had taken over, and I again predicted a 1-3 loss at Colorado. I thought Colorado would be a lot better. They were not. They were not very good at all. I was surprised that Mihailovic was, who I think is I personally think is a great player. He disappeared the entire game. Like, I was like, was he even on the pitch?
Yeah, he had either, a very few highlights.
We either shut him down or he just didn't play, or both. I don't know. So I said 1-3. I was way wrong. You said 1-0 with a Shaft Boyd combo. You were wrong. You close on the score, wrong on the combo. All right. John, I think that is it for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us overseas and here in America. Thank you for listening.
We got a VAR.
Oh, yeah. So what did we get wrong?
So I mentioned the raccoon in the press boxes. It was not Colorado. It was RSL that happened to last year in an Open Cup match, I believe. You had a question about Wubens being a a forward or a striker. He's listed as center forward on Transfer Market, which I think is their term for striker. And okay. he's listed primarily as that, not, you know, forward. So also I misspoke last week and Chicago was up on Philly and Philly clawed back to get that 2-2 tie. I had spoken it the other way around. So that was that. And then I think you have Avar. I don't know.
I had insulted Sasha Kleshin on the podcast. I just wanted to clarify my insult. I actually said when he was a player, I thought he ran, and I quote here, like a toddler with a full diaper. So that is how I described Sasha Kleshin's running. All right, John, on that note, on that bombshell, thank you for joining us.
That's a heck of a note to end on.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us at home. Please join us again next week. We will probably have a lot to talk about next Sunday. John, have a great night, my friend.
We'll see you next week.